live from snowy New York City. Well, kind of New York City. We're in a closet, so.
Yeah.
Kind of outside. It's still snowy, though.
We are in Manhattan.
And we are also in Manhattan. So today we're going to discuss injury news. That's our big main segment. And then we're also going to talk about possible replacements and buy low targets from those injuries as a result. And we're going to give our high and low value picks for the night because there's a huge slate tonight. Mm-hmm. But because of that, there's also, there were no games yesterday, so we can't go over last night's games, and we also can't go over our picks from yesterday. So we'll focus on that. It's going to be probably a little bit of a short podcast, but tomorrow's is going to be packed because of all the games. So you get a short one today, but you get a long one tomorrow, so it makes up for it.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll talk about who was injured in the last week, but because of the sort of shortened schedule, there really wasn't a lot to talk about. And a lot of this is stuff, like really short-term things. First of all, is Evgeny Malkin, who we believed was kind of not really injured, but now it seemed like maybe there was something going on. I still assume this is like some little tweak. They just wanted to give him a couple days, you know, not have him stress it in the All-Star game.
Yeah, if anyone or a family member of Malkin's is listening, I apologize for saying it was fake.
I don't really. Next, we have Jonas Donskoy. Is that right? Donskoy.
I don't know.
It's probably Donskoy. And we'll look that up later. See, that might be grammar school. He has an undisclosed injury, so we don't really know the extent of it. I honestly wouldn't have listed him here because he's not been very good this season, but he still has 22% ownership, which I'm assuming is mostly due to dynasty keeper type leagues. Yeah. So with that in mind, he is hurt.
I think people are mostly expecting him to break out, and it's probably a kind of situation where people are waiting for him to break out, so you're holding on to him kind of hoping something happens, but he's also dealt with so many injuries this season that it just kind of is not really panning out for the season that everyone was expecting from Donskoy.
Right.
Donskoy, however.
It's hard just in San Jose for some reason to get big fantasy points unless your name is Pavelski or Burns.
So. Yeah.
Like, even their other, like, we've mentioned this before, their top guys really are, like, behind that are, like, Couture and Thornton are their next two, and they're so far down the list of, like, top players.
Yeah, it's nuts. So much of the points are dominated from Burns and Couture.
Burns and Pavelski.
Burns and Pavelski, I apologize. Yeah. Moving on from that, we'll go to the East, where TJ Oshie is having a baby.
Had
a baby. That's why he's...
His wife... Had the baby.
That's not really much of an injury,
he just stood there.
He did have a designation.
I think he's a third kid now or something. So
yeah, something like that. Congrats to TJ Oshie.
Yep.
But like I said, remember that we've seen it a lot of times in the NHL. People have kids and all of a sudden they come back and they're on fire. So little something to note with TJ Oshie. He might have some parental instinct there to go out and kill everybody.
He's also not technically back yet, but we pretty much assume he's going to play today. He didn't play on Thursday, but I assume he'll be back. All right. Semyon Varlamov is going to be the last topic here for the injuries.
Again.
Yeah. This isn't really a new injury, but it has been updated as he is now done for the season. What does Colorado have to lose at this point? There's no reason to rush him back and have him, like, permanently destroy himself for the rest of the season.
If he's not already.
That
groin is...
Yeah. So Calvin Pickard is likely going to be the starter there unless he really blows it. And then I don't even know who they go to after that. So,
what is their goaltending then?
I don't know. I don't know who their backup is to Pickard at this point.
Let's see.
Or Pickard? Grammar school. All right. I'll move on while you look that up to who is returning, who did return from injury, who we know has returned. So we speculated yesterday about possible returns from injury this week. We're not going to be talking about those guys. We're talking about people that actually returned last week. So we'll start with the Islanders and Andrew Ladd coming back from a UBI. He's had a bad season. Let's be blunt with it. But he did come back and get two goals in two games. He had an assist from Letty and Tavares, which is interesting, on his second goal. I don't know that he's going to get top line minutes. Certainly not yet. I still expect him to be on that like Chimera Quine third line, getting like 14 minutes a game or whatever. But he is getting second power play time. He always was. So who knows? You know, with the new management, well, there's barely any change in management, honestly. But with the new coach, he may be able to prop himself up and start representing that $5.5 million salary. But we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, also another thing I think with Ladd is what we might see, and this is just speculation, but I wouldn't be surprised if also because of salary and because of Andrew Ladd's leadership qualities, we see him play, for example, in the third line and get third line minutes, but in high pressure situations, he gets thrown up into that line and he gets opportunities to kind of play with Tavares or other people once the opportunity calls for it.
Right.
So that might open up some opportunities for him, but really we're talking about what, like 2 minutes extra or something like that. So mm-hmm. It's not much.
It's like Spencer Martin is the backup goalie.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. He's a rookie, right? Or is he?
He has 8 goals against in 2 games.
San Jose and San Jose. That's not very nice. But
4.02 goals against average.
Yeah. You put him in a back-to-back against San Jose. You're like setting the dude up to lose.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right.
Moving on from that.
Koivu. We're going to get into some of these like flu, like definitely 1 or 2 game deals. But
yeah, they weren't big. But something, just someone that came back. Mikko Koivu, he was sick. He had the flu, which is kind of going across the United States and hitting the NHL a little bit. He had 2 goals in 2 games, so he's on a little bit of a streak. We'll talk about him more a little bit later as I added him as one of my biggest injury comebacks. But moving on from that, staying in the West, Patrick Laine is back from a concussion last week. He got a goal, 2 assists, and 9 shots on goal in 2 games since returning. And that was huge for the Jets. They were definitely missing his offensive prowess, and he mm-hmm. plays really well with his line, so that propped up Brian Little to have an incredible week. So I think you can expect big things from Patrick Laine in this next few weeks, and you can also expect a lot from his line mates.
Yeah, as an aside, it still blows my mind that Little's only 36% owned in Yahoo leagues. He's on a 5-game point streak, several multi-point efforts, 4 in the last 5. I don't understand
why. What's even crazier is in that list, so he's 30-something percent owned, right? So you'd think that that's in deep leagues where you kind of are looking for points. You know, okay, Brian Little isn't that owned. Tonight, he's only 24% started as well.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
The starting numbers are always kind of weird, though. They don't make a lot of sense to me. Like, I don't...
It's still crazy to me that a guy who's on a 5-game point streak was the number, 3 ranked player last week or whatever in our league, for example, is only started 24%.
Yeah.
That's nuts. But anyways, Brian Little.
People are sleeping on him still.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on and talk about Thomas Vanek coming back from a lower body injury. He got 14 minutes of time on ice in his first game back and a couple shots. Nothing too exciting, obviously, in that appearance, but Vanek is still playing with Nielsen, and they have definitely clicked to be one of the better lines, probably the best line for Detroit this year. We'll see if they're able to keep that chemistry up, and it looks like, according to the prediction for tonight's game, Andreas Athanasiou is going to be, I think I said that right, is going to be lining up on their left wing, so that'll be interesting.
Ooh.
Athanasiou's
been good, too.
Yes, he has. So let's go to Colorado again, where we have another flu bug return in Matt Duchene. He got an assist, 2 shots, and 17 minutes of ice time on his game back. Good.
Yeah, not bad, I guess. I mean, I hope Duchene starts producing again.
Mm-hmm. So our next two are a couple long-term injuries.
Yes.
I'll start with Nick Bjugstad. Technically, I shouldn't have listed him because we generally only talk about fantasy-relevant players, and the way we usually determine fantasy relevance is ownership to an extent. But Gukstad is, I was stunned when I saw he's 2% owned.
Yeah.
I mean, he's young. He had a pretty good season last season. He's not going to be a guy that puts up 60, 70 points, but I wouldn't think it's a far cry to have expected 50 from him this year. But obviously he's been hurt the whole time. Now that they've slotted him on the fourth line with no power play time, but I think that's to kind of ease him back into the workload. As long as Barkov is out, I would expect Bjugstad to jump up to the second line and might even see top power play time, definitely second power play time. Especially in hits leagues, he gets a little bit of a bonus. And he's a center, so if you need a center. I'm still flabbergasted that he's 2% owned.
I mean, I think that this is kind of why, if you look at his stats, in 2013, 2014, he put up 38 points, got a crazy amount of hits, 117. 2014, 2015, he got 43 points, his career high, and also got 148 hits. After that, last season, he got 34 points, so a little bit of a decrease, but he also played fewer games. In 2014, 2015, he played 72 games. Last season, he only played 67, but he still got 34 points and got 87 hits. This season, he's already at 22 games, which I didn't even know he had played that many, and he only has 2 points.
Really rough start, but that's kind of been the Panthers, awful. Right? Like, think about the first 22 games for the Panthers. Like, Barkov looked horrible. Yeah. Everybody looked horrible. Barkov was, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if some people dropped him due to how awful his start was. But somehow, after Bukestad went out, it was when everybody started going off. You had, like, Trocheck really start putting it in. You had Barkov really start playing well. Huberto is looking like he might come back soon. The Panthers could be a totally transformed team in the next week or so.
Yeah.
If Barkov comes back, Bukestad is sort of in trouble because I can't see any way he makes it past third line at that point.
Nope.
But he still might wind up on the power play. You know, they're probably play one defenseman and he might be able to slot in somewhere. But
Barkov has quietly had a really good season outside of injuries. He's only played 36 games this season, but he already has 27 points.
Right. And all of those came like in the last, I mean, I think he got like something like 14 points his last 10 or something. Yeah. So it's definitely been like backloaded.
And he's actually, today there was just news that he skated with a contact jersey. So
with a contact jersey.
Was it contact jersey? Let me see.
That was no contact.
No contact jersey, I apologize. So.
But back to Bukestad for a second. Beyond this year, or aside from this year, he was playing at about a half a point a game pace or better, which puts him at, you know, about 40 something. 50 is a reasonable estimate. Yes, he had a rough start. I expect bounce back from him, but if you have room, you might want to stash him, but until he moves away from that fourth line and gets some real time, he's not going to be able to produce much because he's just not going to get the minutes and he doesn't have line mates.
And you got to watch the whole situation with the rest of the injuries and see what happens. But Bukestad is shocking to me.
Yeah, 2%.
Also, 2 points in 22 games.
That's bad.
That's bad.
But still, 2%.
That's enough games now that we can say, wow, Bukestad has not produced anything this season.
Yep.
That's shocking to me.
Yep.
Wow.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
See what happens with him. Hopefully he can turn it around. But moving on from there, another rookie,
he's not a rookie.
A young guy who everyone kind of slated to be really good and also just not doing so hot. And he also has been dealing with injuries all season is Tomas Hertl. He's dealing with a knee injury, which, if I remember correctly, has kind of been resurgent this season. It just keeps kind of happening.
Yeah.
He keeps tweaking it. But he's playing the top line and top power play. So he's going to get a lot of looks and a lot of opportunities to pick it up. So he's definitely worth a look, and the Sharks are going to be very happy that he's back. So that one was a very important one for the Sharks to get back.
Yep. All right, so let's talk about our biggest injury-related impact, who we think is going to make... This is either coming back or recently injured, so either is going to affect the team positively or adversely, our biggest impact players. I'll go ahead and start, and the answer here is pretty obvious. Yep. It's Patrick Laine. Him coming back from a concussion is an immediate impact on the team, as we already mentioned, 3 points, 2 games. He's one of the best rookies in the league. Probably, I mean, it's either him or Austin Matthews, right? I think they're pretty close.
Yep.
And they weren't really supposed to be, right? Like, Austin Matthews was the clear number one going into the draft, and now it's not so clear, I don't think, in my opinion.
I don't think so either.
The Jets... Like, if they're going to have any shot of making the playoffs at this point, they need Laine, and they need him for the rest of the season. He can't go down again for the sake of the Jets anyway. But to say he's like the most valuable player to come back from injury is like an understatement. He's an absolute necessity.
Yeah, 40 points in 44 games. You miss that big time.
Yeah.
Especially when it's helping other guys. I mean, you go to the NHL site, and right now one of their top trending guy is Brian Little. And that's in large part because he was put on a line with Laine.
Mm-hmm.
So, line with Laine, that's hard to say. But that one will be a big one for Winnipeg, and they're going to be really happy to have him back.
So he's got more points already than Austin Matthews. How about that?
And he's played less games.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing a little side project to look at rookies in all time and see how they compare. And the season that we're having right now, rookie-wise, is just nuts compared to other people. You don't see what we're seeing this season right now. This is absurd. When you're expecting around 70, 80 points, perhaps, from Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine, that's pretty unheard of. Very few rookies have done it, especially seasons where there's been two rookies that have done it.
Right.
For me, I gotta say Patrick Laine is definitely, obviously, the number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also, although he hasn't been good, I've got to say Varlamov is going to be a huge, huge hit to the Avalanche. The Avalanche are already terrible. They're last in the league. They have a -69 across the board on their team. And Calvin Picard is not used to a full workload. And Colorado has 69 games still remaining. And this is their, now they're going to begin their compressed schedule. Every team kind of
have 69 games left.
How many games do they have left? I thought it was 69.
How could it be? There's only 82 games in season.
That makes no sense.
They're a -69 with goal differential.
They're -69. I mixed that up.
Yeah.
Sorry. Colorado. Sorry about that. Colorado has, there's 69 days as well left in the season.
Oh, yes.
That's what it is.
And they've got more than a,
And they have more than a game every other day on average. This is the compressed schedule for them. Every team kind of had a different stretch of compressed schedules. This is Colorado's start. So not only are they losing Varlamov at a time when they already suck, they're losing him at a time when Colorado has the most games. And Picard, like I said, is not used to a full workload, so this is going to hurt Colorado a lot. It'll be telling to see how Picard deals with it, but then they also have a very young, unproven backup goalie now.
Yeah.
So I'd have to vote that although they suck, you can't understate how important it was to have a veteran presence in goal and also someone who was used to a full workload. So
yeah. And if Varlamov was not injured, I mean, who knows how long this groin thing's been going on. He was clearly a better goaltender in the previous years, so sort of weird, but yeah. A brief little fix. They're a -63 goal differential. 69 was being thrown around for like everything. But anyway, all right. So let's talk about our replacement or buy low candidates that are related to injuries. So this is either going to be our replacements are for major injuries, which, I mean, there's only really Varlamov to talk about for this week. And then buy low injury candidates would be people that are maybe just coming back from injury or have just gotten injured and you're trying to buy them out. Maybe you have an IR slot to stuff them for a while, that type of thing.
I've been ripping on Colorado now for a while.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back to him and I'm going to say Picard. If you need a goalie, he's probably someone who isn't owned.
Yeah,
he's definitely. Looked really good
this
season.
He's like 11% ownage.
So. Yeah, and he's looked really good this season. I think considering how bad Colorado sucks and how bad they are defensively, Calvin Picard is not a bad look save percentage and goals against average wise.
He's been playing decent recently.
For the team in front of him, he's really good. And you never know if perhaps becoming the clear number one starter gives him some confidence and
look what happened to Grace.
He puts together a string of good games. Exactly. So, and Calvin Picard last season, I think, or the season he came up, he had a pretty good stretch and he looked really good. And that was, and it was impressive to see him play and he put up some really good games and actually stunned some teams. So I believe in Picard. And I think if anything, if you need starts and can sacrifice some wins, he's a good pickup. Also, if your team or if your league counts saves as points, that's a great place to pick up a goalie.
Yep.
He's going to have a ton of shots on goal. And how many with how many shots he gets, he actually kind of makes up for the losses and goals against. For example, in my keeper league where I picked up Picard because I'm terrible at goaltending in that league. I started with Varlamov and Peter Mrazek, just not very good.
Oh boy.
I used to have Varlamov and Bernier. That was bad. God. And then I picked up Mrazek. But in my league, for example, in my keeper league, Picard, although he's losing and lets in quite a few goals, he still averages about 5 points a game on ESPN. So that's really solid for a goalie, especially when you're considering that he plays on Colorado. So that's not a bad look. And I suggest even for streaming every once in a while when you know they have a decently easy game, perhaps take a look at Picard.
Yep. All right. I don't really have a suggestion because the only person we could talk about is Varlamov. And I don't know if I can recommend Picard in standard leagues. But, I mean, if you're in a really deep league, you might be worth the risk. He's only like 11% owned, so he's going to be pretty easy to pick up if you need him.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated on how he does for me.
All right, so let's talk about our buy low candidates. How about you get us started? It looks like you got Mikko Koivu lined up.
Yep, Mikko Koivu at 40% owned. He had a slow start to the season. He was on our waiver wire. Quite a few people dropped him. And he has 2 goals, 3 assists in the last 14 days, which is pretty hot compared to most other players. That's pretty high up there. He's really turned it on late in the season, and he might be available in your league even as a pickup, not only a buy-low candidate, but even as a buy-low, you may be able to trade, for example, a guy who's hot right now and you think is going to cool off, like some of the guys we've said in the past, Hartnell, I don't think you can really trade him, but those guys, right? For someone like Mikko Koivu, who's proven and is playing top line, I believe, on Minnesota.
I think they're playing on the second line, but he's playing with Mikael Granlund, and they seem to have good chemistry this season. So
yeah, so he's on a good line, getting a lot of looks. He's been really good recently, and I think that now that he has kind of the monkey off his back and has gotten some goals, he probably turns it around now and starts producing again. My other guy that I'd say to buy low, this one is more of a risk, I'd say. You don't really know what you're going to get, but if you're willing to take on the risk, it could be very worth it, is Andrew Ladd. He's been super disappointing, especially with his salary. Mm-hmm. But it's worth keeping an eye on how Doug Weight uses him. We saw in the last few games he's gotten some points and he's produced and they're using him well. I think a change in change in coaching and strategy might help him, to the effect of how Chimera has gotten some help. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, you could see Ladd start to produce to his old numbers, and you could get him.
He could wind up on a line with Tavares at some point too.
Yeah, which would be, that could happen as well. Impact. Yeah, and so right now you could get him for close to nothing probably.
Oh yeah.
I think if you offer them almost anybody that's somewhat hot, you could pick up Ladd. And also, there's a very, very good chance he's just on the waiver wire.
Yeah.
So that's just someone to maybe star and keep an eye on and see what's going on the Islanders, because that could be someone who has a huge impact going down the season.
Watch their line combos on left wing lock and that type of thing. See if they move him around, you know, pay attention to him.
Yep.
All right. So I've got 3 of them for you. I'll start with Thomas Vanek, only 37% ownership. He was having a pretty great resurgence year before the injuries kind of nailed him.
He got that injury bug hard.
Yeah, a couple times. He's still playing with Nielsen, and they've been clicking, and he's getting top power play minutes. Top power play minutes. So I expect him to, I don't know if he can keep up. He was like almost point a game for a while there. I think he was even better than point a game for a little bit. Yep. But I would expect, if he's going to be really good, I would expect him 50 to 60 point pace, which would be awesome. So keep an eye on him.
Especially if Athanasiu's on his line. Yeah. I like that a lot.
As long as he doesn't get hurt again, which who knows. I'm going to move on to Tomas Hertl, 40% ownership. I would just keep an eye on him for now, but the fact that they have him on the top line tap power play, it's giving him a lot of opportunities, but I don't know if they're going to keep him there if he can't produce. Yep. So he's probably going to get a few games, and if he can't get something going with Thornton and Pavelski, I expect him to get demoted, at which point he's not going to be worth a lot. If he does stay on the top line, I expect him to land just north of about a 50-point pace. Yeah, because he's got Thornton, right? Like, Thornton likes to pass the puck.
Wrong sport there.
All right. I'm going to move on to my last recommendation. I've already briefly mentioned this. Nick Bjugstad. Not somebody to pick up right away, but somebody to pay attention to, especially in deep leagues. He's 2% owned, so he's available in almost every single league. I do expect him to be on the second line if Barkov stays out, probably in a couple of games. And then with that, he'll move up to the top power play or the second power play. This is all when they're basically conditioning him, but they're doing it in the NHL for whatever reason. But probably because they can't demote him.
Yep.
But so he's going to be definitely seeing more workload once they realize or determine that his injury is resolved and he can play at 100%. He's good for hits leagues, obviously. I expect him to be somewhere around a 40 to 45 point pace if he like gets going. When Barkov comes back and he moves down to the third line, it's going to depend on what line mates he gets. So Huberdeau is going to come back soonish, maybe. If he winds up on a line with Huberdeau, it should be good for him. But again, Barkov coming back lowers his value, so we'll see. Just keep an eye on him. He could be somebody to snatch up for at least a little bit.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on to our picks for the night. So for these, we go with DraftKings valuations, and we're sort of using kind of rough lineups for DraftKings, just our recommendations on their site. But you can also use what we're saying here as spot start ideas or streaming ideas or like regular draft ideas.
Yeah, if you're doing any kind of daily drafts or if you're whatever sort of thing, these are just kind of our top picks. We use DFS kind of language and money because that's also relevant. But these players, we like them as outside play, like outside of DraftKings or whatever. We like them as starts tonight and we think they'll perform. So there's someone to keep an eye on nonetheless. And they're also just players that we've talked about in the past and that we're also keeping an eye on. And a lot of times, episodes later, we'll talk about someone who we think will have a great night or a value pick. And then, you know, 2 days later, we're talking about them as an actual look at guy. Yeah. Like, you got to think about picking this guy up. So usually this is where I think in our value picks, we first start noticing guys that, and actually I think it's very good practice to even too, to help you kind of keep an eye on your waiver wire. The value picks really help you kind of figure out who's getting hot and who's going to start producing, who can actually keep it up. But that said, my top overall pick tonight is John Gibson against Colorado. He's the most expensive player on DraftKings.
Yep.
But I think he's 100% worth it.
$100. So.
Yeah. It's almost an assured win at this point. Seven straight losses for Colorado. They don't look good at all.
Anaheim's at home, so it's nice.
Anaheim's at home. Varlamov's out. It just doesn't look good. So as expensive as John Gibson is, I like him a lot. My second overall guy is Patrick Laine against St. Louis. I am shocked by his price.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's only $6,500.
I would agree with that. That's a great pickup.
I can't believe that's his price. I expected him to be up near like the Malkin price sort of thing, like $7,500, $8,000. I don't know. Somewhere around there, right?
Austin Matthews is $7,600. Yeah. So.
And I think Patrick Laine has a better matchup. St. Louis is the worst goaltending save percentage in the league.
He's
one of the best shooters in the league.
Yeah, I think they're pretty close. Just because it's Dallas. Dallas like lets in third most goals of anybody. Yeah.
But so, Dallas has also been doing better recently, I'd say. I don't know.
I think the problem with it is he's gonna get minuses probably. I mean, not necessarily minuses, right. But I don't know if this plus minus will be as good as Laine is.
That's true.
But I think he's gonna get more shots on. So.
That's whatever, fair.
But he's also, you know, he's $1,100 more, so it's not even really a comparison. It's like apples to oranges at that point with that difference in price. Anyway, I also picked John Gibson as the kind of a lock start. He's the clear number one tonight. The only even really close goaltender, do not say Holtby to me. Holtby does not do very well against the Islanders for whatever reason.
Nope.
So I would say the other number two would be Budaj, but he's $8,200. He's away at Arizona.
It's tough.
So it's not quite the matchup that Gibson has, and Gibson's been really strong lately. So except for that one game where they got blown out against Edmonton.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Yeah. My second top pick is Brent Burns.
Of course.
At home against Chicago, who's been just getting lit lately. $8,200, he's so far ahead in both price and value of any other defenseman. If you're playing DraftKings, you could argue getting somebody cheaper for your D pairings and just trying to focus on like value forwards in like the 6,000 range. But Burns is, especially in anything that isn't a salary cap, it is more like a traditional draft. Burns is like a go-to.
Yeah, you have to go Burns. There's no defenseman that is even like him.
Yeah, it's freakish.
It's almost like drafting a forward.
It is. It's definitely like drafting. It's like drafting a very good forward.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to our value picks where things get interesting and we get to make mistakes.
Yes, and this is where we get them right or very, very wrong. Yeah. I'll start us off, and I'm going to start with my least expected guy, and I think someone who is extremely cheap and has been on fire recently and is extremely, extremely under the radar. So I don't know much about the like ownership percentages and whatnot, but I would assume that this guy is extremely low ownership percentage on DraftKings and just not very owned anywhere else either.
Yeah.
Is Andrew Kopp.
Mm-hmm.
At St. Louis. He plays for Winnipeg, if you didn't know, because chances are you might not know.
Yeah. Who's that?
he's 0% owned on Yahoo.
Yeah.
0% owned, and he's on fire.
He's getting decent minutes now. He's getting 15, 16 minutes.
So. Yeah, he's playing super well. He has 5 points in his last 5 games, and he's on a 3-game point streak. His last game before the All-Star break, he got one
top
goal
line
and an
minutes
assist.
Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, there
Look
you go.
Look at that. I'm telling you, this guy's flying under the radar, but He might be worth a pickup soon.
No power play. He needs to be on the power play for me to consider him a pickup. I think he's going to move around, but I like him for daily.
If you're in a deep league, and if you're in a very, very deep league, very and you're deep. Looking for guys, this guy's 0% owned.
Yep.
And he's on the top line in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. Regardless of power play time.
You at least stream him.
You can at least stream him every once in a while or just have him on the bench and move him around. But damn, if I can find a top line guy owned at 0% and pick him up for nothing, I'd do that all day. So Andrew Kopp at only 3,300 bucks on DraftKings to me is a steal.
Oh, he did see some power play time. So
there you go.
With Wheeler and Shifley. So.
So he's starting
ton,
to get it.
Not a ton of power play time, but it definitely some.
So they're starting to try him out, and that's promising to me, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm keeping an eye on him, especially in my deep keeper league, where usually our kind of ownership percentage, if you're looking at someone, it's rare to find someone who's at about a 4%. I dropped Jimmy Vesey the other day, and somehow he's still not picked up, but he's at 20%, so that's an odd thing in our league, but Andrew Kopp is someone I'm definitely keeping an eye on. Outside of that, I'm also looking at Chimera versus Washington, 3,300 bucks. It's against his former team. He tends to do well against teams that are fast like Washington and who kind of is easy to catch on the break because they're so offensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd keep an eye on Chimera. I think it's a good buy. I don't think it's my top guy. I actually think Andrew Kopp is going to be my best value pick of the night because St. Louis isn't that good. And as a defenseman, I like Nikita Zadorov against Anaheim. He plays for Colorado, another guy you might never have heard of. I went really off the radar for these ones outside of Chimera.
Yeah.
But Zadorov is second D pairing for Colorado, and he's also on the second power play. He's on a 2-game point streak, and 4 games ago, he went from getting 14 minutes of ice time to around 20. So he's starting to play on that second line, on the second pairing, but he's getting a lot of minutes. He gets a lot of hits, so that makes him worth it in very deep leagues that count hits, very, very, very deep leagues. And he's starting to get about 2 shots a game. In his past 3 games, he has 2 shots on goal, and he used to get nothing. So, so realistically, you know, he's a far stretch. But when I was looking at defensemen and kind of seeing average point value, how they're doing recently, Nikita Zadorov is doing really well. He just got a promotion, and since the promotion, he's doing really well. I can't believe he's more owned than Andrew Kopp by a percent, but nonetheless, that's surprising to me. But those are my guys. I'm actually really excited about these tonight because I usually don't go as off the radar. Usually that's Brandon's job, but I'm excited for those. What about yours?
Should be interesting for last point, Nikita Zadorov. If Eric Johnson and Tyson Barrie come back tonight, it could mean trouble for Zadorov.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he'll wind up on the power play at that point. I think his minutes are going to dwindle again, so keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But at $3,200, it's pretty riskless, I guess.
Yeah.
So my first pick is Matthias Ekholm. He's playing the top power play, second pairing at Nashville. He's playing at Pittsburgh tonight.
Oof.
Not the best matchup, obviously, but they have been letting in quite a few goals lately. He's only $3,600, so he's super cheap. It's if Yossi winds up coming back, which they've said nothing, so it looks like he probably won't for tonight. But if he does, then no Ekholm. It's just not going to be worth it. He's not going to get enough scoring opportunities. But I do think that there's some promise here. I think he could pick up an assist and a couple shots probably. Yep. So for that cheap, that's pretty reasonable. My second pick is Andreas Athanasiou, the winger on the Red Wings that we were just talking about playing with Nielsen and Vanek. $4,500. He's been playing pretty well lately. He's getting good power play time now, and the Devils are just, like, circling the drain at this point. Neither of their goaltenders can get anything together. They let up shots like crazy. I think you could see a goal, maybe even more, out of Athanasiou tonight.
I mean, he's been really, really good lately.
Yep. He's been, like,
showing up. He's kind of slowed down. He got an assist. He has 1 point in his last 4 games, and that was a goal against Boston on January 24th.
Yeah.
He's getting shots. He's averaging around 2 shots a game.
They were putting him like on the third and fourth lines there, though. Like, I'm only really excited here because he's on the second, so I expect him to get more minutes. Yeah. And he's going to get more power play time. So,
as a note, in that game that he scored against Boston, he got 19 minutes of ice time. In the game against Toronto, right before the All-Star break, he only got 14 minutes of ice time. So,
it makes me wonder if they play him on the PK or something.
So, yeah, so there might be something there. But Just something to note on Athanasiou. Also, he's 4% owned on Yahoo, so we're going deep these value picks this time.
I just like him mostly against the Devils at home also. I like that too. It's a good matchup.
Especially if he plays on that line with Vanek and Nielsen, that's going to be good.
Yep.
Sweet. So that's it. How many games are there tonight? 14 games?
14 games. So everybody's playing except for two teams. Nuts.
That's nuts. Well, that's going to be a good one. That means tomorrow we're going to be packed full of stuff.
Have fun benching all your players tonight. That's always stressful.
I think I'm benching two guys only.
Are you serious? I'm benching like everybody. All of my players play tonight. So I have to bench like four or five players.
I'm benching two guys. Well, I have Galchenyuk. Galchenyuk's out, so he's on the bench. And then outside of that, I'm benching Wennberg against the Rangers, and I'm benching Skinner against Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I, like, worked my bench out yet, though. Right now I'm benching Bergeron at Tampa Bay, Backes at Tampa Bay, Kreider at Columbus, maybe. I might play him.
He's kind of turned it off.
McKinnon at Anaheim, but I might play him also. He's been pretty good lately, but my starting forwards are Logan Couture versus Chicago. I already said I like that matchup. Ovechkin, obvious. Jeff Carter, no question. Nazem Kadri at Dallas, I like a lot. Radulov at home against Buffalo, and Pasternak at Tampa Bay. So
you don't have much movement there.
I don't have much movement. No.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have Burakovsky in there only because I dropped him. I dropped Coyle last episode for Burakovsky, so I got to give him a shot. So I'm starting him over Skinner. I don't know if that's smart, but we'll see. Yeah. I'll update tomorrow to see what happens when Jeff Skinner gets a hat trick and Burakovsky goes for like a -5.
Crap. Jeff Petrie has the flu.
Ugh. Oh.
All right. Well,
he has one defenseman now.
Yeah.
If Jeff Petrie doesn't play, your only defender is Justin Falk.
Letang might play.
Oh, there you go. So you might have two defenders.
I might have two defenders. Not good.
Oh, man, that's brutal. Okay, well, we're going to go back into the snow and get some work done. So we'll see you tomorrow, and thank you for listening to the Fantasy Hockey Podcast again.
Thanks for listening.